folks. How are you? Welcome back to episode 33 of the Fearless Flyer podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about flight data monitoring. My name's Grant. I'm one of your co-hosts, and my other host is James. How are you, James?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
We missed out discussing this in the last episode, but I understand you have completed and passed your university course in aviation management. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I finished it last month, so it's good to have that weight off my shoulders.
Yeah, that's good. So in the previous episode, we had a discussion with Dave, who is a CRM specialist, where we discussed the issues of how we as humans react with each other and how we integrate with the aircraft, all with the intention of making the operation of flying safer. So that was a really interesting interview with Dave. And now we're going to have a look at the data monitoring that goes on behind the scenes, and we're going to talk about how this is helping us learn from errors in order to make operating aircraft safer. To help us, we have an interview with Matt, and Matt is a Boeing 777 pilot, and he was also the data monitoring pilot in the company that I previously worked for.
So you'll likely have heard of the term black boxes. These are in fact painted orange, and there are generally two of these on commercial aircraft. One records the sounds and voices in the cockpit and is called the cockpit voice recorder, or CVR. And the other is a flight data recorder, shortened to FDR. And this records parameters such as speed, heading, rates of descent, hour settings, flap settings, and the list goes on, but you get the idea. So in the extremely remote chance that an aircraft was involved in an accident, all this data can be retrieved and analyzed to find out what happened. And in turn, the information from the aircraft that had an accident is thus used to improve the safety within the industry. And hence, we've seen a monumental increase in safety due to the CVR and FDR.
That's a good point, James. There is another element of monitoring that you may not be familiar with, though, that is generally known as the flight data analysis, sometimes called flight data monitoring. It's referred to in flight operations as a flight operations quality assurance, or the acronym FOQA. What this is simply is the process of analyzing recorded flight data from routine operations in order to improve the safety of these routine flight operations.
So our aviation industry is under constant pressure to achieve what ideally would be a zero accident rate. This FDM offers us this opportunity to the challenge. In essence, it could be perceived as a quality assurance system.
Yeah, so how does it do this? It simply involves the downloading of aircraft flight data, generally after each flight, which then enables a specialized flight safety team within an airline to analyze the flight. But don't take my word for it. Let's talk to Matt. Matt and I worked for the same airline, as I said, many years ago, and he was involved in our flight data analysis program. So let's have a listen to that interview with Matt. So a big welcome to Matt. Matt and I flew in our previous airline together, and he was in a position in the company where he looked after flight data monitoring. So Matt, a little bit of background about you before we start on the topic of flight data monitoring, which is the subject of this episode. How long have you been flying for?
Oh, well, Grant, I started flying gliders in the spring of 1991 and then commercially in October 1994, so roughly just over a quarter of a century. Presently, I'm a captain on the 777.
Ah, very good. So we have a similar background in regard to our flying, and that we flew together in the previous airline, and we're both flying 777s at the moment. But in the previous airline, you chose to go into the flight data and monitoring department. Can you explain what took your interest in the flight data monitoring?
Yeah, simply, I've always been interested and fascinated what causes accidents and incidents in aviation. So when I was selected and asked, I was honored to join a very professional flight data team in our previous company.
Yeah, that's really interesting. We have things in the aircraft which everyone are familiar with that are called black boxes, and they get removed from a crash. They're not actually black boxes. They're orange colored, I understand. But do you want to talk just a bit about them before we go into the flight data and monitoring program?
Yeah, simply there are two flight data recorders, commonly known, as you mentioned before, black boxes. And actually, the term derived from World War II, when secretive devices such as cameras or radio equipment and so forth were encased in black boxes. And nowadays, you mentioned it, they're painted bright orange to make it easier to locate at the crash site. They're actually made of metal and can withstand extreme heat and pressure. And they record over 100 parameters such as time, aeroplane's position, airspeed, altitude, pressure, engine setting, and so on. And then you have the cockpit voice recorder, which records sounds in the flight deck, including the pilots and all radio transmission. The digital flight data record system starts once you switch on the electric power, and it records up to 25 hours. And at the end of the 24-hour period, it will begin to record the most recent data over the oldest data. So that's, in a nutshell,
how they work. Yeah, they have changed a bit, haven't they? Because they used to be a lot more limited in not only what they could record, but how much data they could hold.
So, yeah, Brian, that's correct. With the enhancement of computers nowadays, we're able to record data digitally, and therefore we can capture more data.
The FDM, or Flight Data Monitoring Program, I think you get the data from the flight recorders, but I'm not 100% sure.
Grant, it does get the data from the digital flight data recorders. What we do is we sort the data nowadays wireless through an electronic access recorder, also known as a QAR.
And so how is that downloaded? Does someone physically download it, or does it get just transmitted automatically from the aircraft?
There are two ways. Nowadays, it gets transmitted electronically. And the older QAR systems use tapes, a bit like a floppy disk.
So the modern technology of retrieving the data has improved significantly. When is this data generally transmitted?
Well, it's normally after flight, after the aeroplane lands, but technically it could be recorded and transmitted through the flight.
And how do you interpret this data?
That's a very good question. So once the data is downloaded, it will be processed by computer software and eventually generates a color-coded report like a traffic light system, you see, with green representing no, yellow minor, and red major exceedances of limitations and safety margins.
Okay, there. The next question then going on from this is, what is the purpose of a flight data monitoring program?
It's simply the process of the FDM program is to enhance safety by facilitating corrective actions, which include sharing information, trends, and identify risks.
Okay, yeah. It's been a really good concept at increasing aviation safety, I gather.
Yes, it has. It has. And it became mandatory for nearly all airlines in most countries.
Yeah, I think it's a legal requirement to have a flight data and monitoring program in most countries. What's the weight limit of the aircraft? It's over a 5.7 ton, is it, I think, or something? 12,500.
Yeah, Grant, that's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. So in layman terms, if you board an airliner, you can be assured that the data is being recorded for safety purposes.
So if you see a pilot, he's made a minor transgression, or you're seeing a trend, what process would you have followed in our previous company?
Well, I would have expected the pilot to file in our safety report, which I then would have reviewed and compared with the recorded data. And if needed, talk to the pilot, certainly in a polite, non-punitive and confidential manner, to share the data with him or her, and sometimes would have asked for more information. The whole idea is simply to create awareness of one's mistakes and to avoid them in the future.
So then going on a step further from there, is punitive action allowed to be taken against a pilot who's just made a transgression that you might have picked up in the FDM program, like an exceedance or something like that?
Normally, laws or domestic agreements between the airlines and the pilot unions govern the use of recorded data. So it depends where you are and who you work for.
I think the ICAO Chicago Convention had a statement that the flight data analysis program shall be non-punitive and contain adequate safeguards to protect the source or sources of the data.
We have something in the airline business called a just culture. It comes from handling of personal flight data. You see, the just culture is a very fragile concept, right? It's a bit like a priceless crystal sculpture, which is built on mutual trust. In other words, a firm belief in truth and transparency and non-punitive action and confidentiality.
Yep, that's very good. And I think flying with an airline with such a just culture, it takes a lot of pressure off the operating crew to be able to get on and fly the airplane instead of wondering what the company thinks and taking up their mental capacity.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah, talking of transgressions, there's obviously a difference between a situation in which a pilot deviates from a company standard operating procedure, such as a situation where task fixation has led to an oversight of a limitation or a procedure, as opposed to a blatant exceedance of a limitation. And like you just said, the difference is the intent. If they intended to do it, then it needs to probably be taken further, doesn't it? As opposed to you having a chat with them and trying to get more information.
Yes, Brian, that is correct. As usual, the outcome is always crucial. And in extreme cases, the person or persons have died as a result of an accident. The criminal law in the UK, for instance, provide for offences of manslaughter or corporate manslaughter. It is possible that actions taken by a pilot result in a death can be considered to be manslaughter, proven that they were grossly negligent. However, very occasionally a pilot has been charged and convicted of manslaughter in the UK.
Yeah, and I've got that an example of a question for that in New Zealand, the intent and whether things are done on purpose or not and what happens with the law. And I want to use an example that came from a sad accident of a Dash 8 turboprop in New Zealand in June of 1995. In the aircraft, it crashed on approach, and the post-accident investigation revealed a few issues leading up to this unfortunate accident. However, at the time, the New Zealand police got involved and demanded the cockpit voice recorder with the intent of using this information to prosecute the pilots. And the police went even as far as to issue a search warrant when access was denied to them by the highest court. Are you familiar with that accident?
Yeah, I'm partially familiar with the accident. I had the benefit to have flown with the union representative who dealt with protecting the pilots in that very, very sad case.
Yeah, and it was a sad case because they wanted both the flight data recorder and the cockpit voice recorder for a criminal case. And it did affect flight safety because we as pilots were discussing whether we should be turning off our cockpit voice recorders and flight data recorders in order to prevent a prosecution against us. And bear in mind, it's there for safety and analysis along with the flight data and monitoring program. So the police and the law were doing a great disservice to themselves. And I think our listeners have to be aware that although you might think it's a bad idea turning this off, imagine if everything you do at work is recorded and it's recorded voice and everything you touch on a computer is recorded, and then your boss can use that against you to be punitive against you. It's a similar circumstance. So we are monitored, we are watched, we are aware of that. We don't worry about it because we know it's going to be used for increasing safety. But once the law got involved, as it did in this case, we start to think, do we really need to be monitored? And of course, that does flight safety a disservice. But the only positive thing, I think, is in 1999, legislation was passed preventing the use of the CVR and FDR in criminal proceedings against pilots. And I can't say whether that's international. I'm pretty sure that that's what happened in New Zealand, but it might be international as well.
Yes, Grant, the whole point, it comes back to the intent. The law enforcement in New Zealand were not aware of what they were doing. And by doing that, you and I had started flying And we often came across colleagues who actively would delete the data after flight. And that's because of what happened in Palmerston North. I think nowadays the pilot community attitude has changed. And because it's built around a just culture in most airlines and most places, that people actually work together as a team, knowing that they are protected from misuse of their data.
Yeah, and we are in the industry and are aware that some airlines, the airlines themselves, do use this data in a punitive manner against their crews. Normally, it results in the loss of a job. As we know, there are incidents that occur. They've used the flight data monitoring information to change the policies in the company to make it safer, but it's at the behest of the poor crew who generally lose their jobs over it.
Yes, Grant, unfortunately, that is the truth, and it goes against the fundamental principle of flight data monitoring.
Yeah.
Because in those airlines, we know who they are, pilots start their daily work fearful of potential consequences. So they're not able to concentrate 100% on their job. So if I, at an airline, I want my pilots to be fearless, knowing that the company will support them despite the fact they've made some minor mistakes.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that when a mistake is made and a policy's changed, you can guarantee the people that made the mistake that caused the policy to change, you can guarantee those people that made that mistake will never make that mistake again. So why get rid of them? They're probably the best people to learn from. But unfortunately, the management of some airlines don't quite see it that way.
Unfortunately not.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Let's talk about some of the other benefits of the flight data monitoring system. Are there any other benefits apart from the safety factor?
Yes, that's absolutely right. I mean, a part of its primary purpose, as you mentioned, the enhancement of safety are, for example, an increased operational efficiency, like reducing fuel burn or unscheduled maintenance, identification of negative trends risks, which in turn means training programs can be modified to mitigate these risks or trends on the line. Mm-hmm. And when these negative trends, hazards, risks are communicated appropriately to the pilot community, the FDM program becomes a very powerful and effective safety tool.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other things you can think of where it might be saving companies money or making things more efficient?
There could be a review of routes people fly, or the airline's plan, so the dispatch can be improved with the work of ATC, of course. These are side benefits. The main purpose, as I said before, is to increase safety.
Yeah. Hey, anyway, let's crack on. Advice. Do you have any advice for passengers who are anxious or nervous about flying?
Yes, I do. Go and speak to the pilots. Over the years, I've found that when talking with nervous passengers, I always manage to ease their fears and anxieties. So go and talk to pilots.
Yeah, that's a good point. And hopefully this podcast that we're doing now, where we have people like yourself coming on who have a wealth of experience and knowledge to share, will help ease their minds before they get to the airport. That's good advice. Anything else you want to add there, Matt?
No, thanks, Grant. Thank you, James.
Well, yeah, it's a pity James couldn't be here, but he's here in spirit. So we'll have a chat around each side of this. Thanks very much, Matt, for your time. I really appreciate you coming on. Take care, and we'll catch up later on.
Take care. Thank you.
Okay, so that was the interview that I had with Matt. And unfortunately, due to the time constraints, time zone differences, James wasn't able to join us. But you've had a listen to the interview, James. What did you think of it?
Well, I thought there was a couple of interesting points in that interview. The first being the amount of data that can now be recorded. So modern incidents and accidents that occur, we can now analyze a lot more data than we'd previously be able to. And that's got a lot more from the accident and learn a lot more about what we can do in the future as such to prevent that accident from occurring. The next year spent talks about a lot about the culture in an airline, about the just culture. And I do feel I agree with him on the point that we shouldn't be blaming pilots or they're going to be afraid to go to work. Did a good point sort of talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is a point. I mean, for an airline to have this monitoring program is very good. But if it's like he said, if it's used in a punitive sense, then it does take up a lot of one's capacity. And I can understand people who have been involved in an accident or lost a relative in an accident, and they say, well, the pilot caused the error, but no pilot goes to work to intentionally cause an accident unless it was done with willful intent. In other words, he or she intentionally went out to damage an aircraft or cause death and destruction. Then yes, I can understand legal cases being brought against it, but the purpose of the data monitoring and the CVR and the FDR is for the enhancement of flight safety, so we don't see repetitions of accidents. And it's a really important tool. And airlines that do use it as a punitive measure, I wouldn't really want to fly on them, to tell you the truth.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Anything else you got out of that, James?
I think that interview is a good way for passengers to see sort of how pilots are held accountable and how they are recorded. And if there was an accident or incident, that evidence would be like presented in court, and you could see quite clearly if the pilots made a mistake. And if not, well, they shouldn't be held accountable, and you shouldn't be blaming pilots for an accident in that case.
Yeah, it comes back to the previous episode on CRM where we talked to Dave. The majority of accidents, they stop with the flight crew. But there are many other factors that might be involved that led up to a particular accident. And this is where the Swiss cheese analogy was derived from. Issues such as poor regulatory oversight, poor ground communications, not reporting, say, bad weather or insufficient training, maybe fatigue or maybe confusing or conflicting company manuals. All these are examples, and many more could represent a slice of Swiss cheese that contribute to an accident. Unfortunately, the flight crew is the last line of defense or last layer of Swiss cheese. And this is where the flight crew piece of cheese is the easy one to pin the blame on following an accident. But remember, no pilot intentionally goes out to damage an airplane. If they do, then the full weight of the law should definitely be brought against them. And just a note here, in episode 37, we're going to talk about terrorism and disruptive passengers. And it's worth noting, I just said no pilot goes to work with a view to damage an aircraft, but I must refer to a pilot who is selfish enough to commit suicide and take an innocent load of folk with him in the process. In the history of commercial aviation, to my knowledge, there's only been, I think it's 6 suicides in commercial aviation, and that's 6 too many. And I'm excluding the Malaysian 777 here that went missing in the southern Indian Ocean, because I don't believe that was suicide, but that's my personal opinion. But we'll talk more about what has been done to mitigate this pilot suicide thing in episode 37. But as far as I'm concerned, these 6 events were an act of selfish terrorism that disgusts me and my colleagues. Anyway, that's for episode 37. Coming back to the topic here of flight data monitoring, you'll hopefully have learned that it's not just the cockpit voice recorder and flight data recorder that is used to enhance safety and avoid an accident that could involve similar factors in the future, but the flight data monitoring program used within an airline with a just culture, it actually contributes to enhancing the safety of that particular airline by addressing events and normal operations that might have otherwise gone unchecked. So we're trying to get the industry down to a 0 yearly accident rate. This would be awesome to achieve. However, we are moving machinery around and we can't account for every feasible scenario that might occur. Sometimes something sneaks through and there is an accident or an incident. But based on the statistics over the last 30 or so years, we're doing a good job at reducing the amount of accidents. And mandated policies such as flight data monitoring programs are one of the factors contributing to these accident reductions. James, I think that pretty much covered everything. Unless there's something else you want to talk about, what's coming up in the next episode?
So in the next episode, that is episode 34, we're going to be talking about evacuating an aircraft. So that's on the extreme remote chance that this happens. This episode is sort of going to be giving you an insight into the requirements an aircraft has to meet during testing, and why you might have to evacuate, the different types of evacuation. And we're just going to give you a few tips to think about if on the slight chance you have to evacuate an aircraft. Just bear in mind, though, that evacuations are extremely rare occurrence.
Yeah, that's right. Now, that should be an interesting episode. So from me, thank you very much to your ears for listening. And from James.
Yeah, thank you for another interesting episode. And we hope to hear from you again soon. Goodbye.